When you get to 1 Kings chapter 11, in fact, we'll just read one of those verses. In verse 4, and this is referring to Solomon, it says, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as was the heart of David his father." And you know, to me, this seems like a very, very sad circumstance for Solomon. Because when I start thinking about Solomon, you know, he had David as his father. A man who was someone that God said, David is a man who's after my own heart. That David tried to understand God, and we have many of his psalms. So we know David had a heart for God. Did he make mistakes? He did. But his heart was for God. And he left the kingdom to Solomon, and Solomon had grown up seeing David's heart. And then we see Solomon, he comes into the kingdom, and it looks like he's on track. God tells Solomon, "Ask me anything, and I'll give it to you." Solomon didn't ask for gold. He didn't ask for a long life. He didn't even ask God to bless his family. He just realized, "Lord, I got a tough job. I need wisdom. Would you give me wisdom to be able to lead your people the way that they need to be led?" And God honored that request. Because that's a request after God's own heart. How did that type of heart get to this where his heart was turned away and he was following other gods? I think back at Solomon. He builds the temple of God, spends 7 years, no one telling how many, equivalent to millions of dollars to us, on that temple. 7 years. He got the best wood, the best masons, the best carvers, the best builders that the land had to offer. And he built God's temple. And then the day that it was finished, they brought in the Ark of the Covenant. And they're having a feast. They're having a party. Because now the ark was going to be in the temple. This was David's dream. A house for his God. And it wasn't given to David. God said, "No, you can't build it, David, because you're a bloody man. You've got a lot of sin in your life. You've got blood on your hands. And I can't allow that to build my house. We need better hands than that. The hands of your son, they're better." And Solomon built God's house. And the Ark of the Covenant comes in, and they're setting it up. And all of a sudden, the glory from God comes in and fills the house. I mean, that's just an amazing sight. I've never seen it. I can't even imagine. Can you imagine the Shekinah glory of God coming in here and being so bright that all of Jonesboro would be able to see it? You know, even at Central, if you're standing over there, they would struggle because the light would be blinding. That was Solomon. And he offers up this prayer, tremendous prayer. A prayer about how your people, if they would call, be that are called by your name, would humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, then God, you'll say, "I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." This is the circumstance that Solomon was at. After building the temple and seeing the glory of God and having God's blessing on his life and giving him the wisdom to make right judgments, not just with God, but also with the people. And his heart was right. And his heart was led towards that to offer a prayer that we use so many times in our day and age. The problem is, we're like Solomon. And we don't even understand what that verse means. Because Solomon, how can you say a prayer like that? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And yet, when we get to 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4, we see that your heart has turned away unto other gods. Solomon, how did that happen? I can tell you how it happened, because we are eyewitnesses to the same thing in our country, in our own lives. That's how. Here, Solomon had taken on so many wives. In verse 3, it tells us that he had 700 wives and princesses and 300 concubines. And here it is. And his wives turned away his heart. Well, what's so bad about that? Because he was looking after the lust of his own flesh. You see, what does a person allow in their life that will turn their heart away from God? This is what 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 will say. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. You see, we get so sidetracked with the stuff that's in this world. And you're not taking any of this stuff with you. And our hearts are not right with God in this nation. In fact, it'd be tough to find somebody whose heart is pure and is not distracted by all the junk and the stuff that we seem to accumulate to ourselves. And God sends a notice to Solomon. Solomon, I got to talk to you. The lust of your eyes and of your flesh and the pride of this life has turned your heart away. You would think it's all about his wives, but it's not. He started serving their gods. He knew that they were wood. He knew that they were stone. He knew that they were worthless, that they couldn't hear, they couldn't see, they couldn't breathe, they could not answer a prayer, and that his God could. Yet he had forsaken the God he knew that could for one that he knew couldn't. And we don't need to be there. But many of us are. Something else that happens in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 through 32. The scripture would tell us, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Have you ever grieved the Spirit? Have you ever done something or doing something and the Holy Spirit comes on you and saying, don't do that. You're hurting my feelings. Get away from that. You know you don't need to look at that. You don't know you don't need to buy that. You know you don't need to be distracted by that. And you disregard the Holy Spirit because of your own desire. What you want. See, we're sealed by that Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And the author, our brother Paul, would say, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You see, all these things, they have to deal with this life. Is there bitterness there? You need to get rid of it. Is there wrath? You need to get rid of it. And malice, clamor, evil speaking, put it away. Forgive one another. Even if you don't like them, forgive them. Because you need your heart to be right with God. I need your heart to be right with God. Can you imagine? If I need prayers, and all I've got around me are people that's their hearts are not right with God, and I need prayer, is God going to hear their prayer when I need them to pray the most? And let me tell you, prayer works. God intercedes on the behalf of your prayers. How many times can we see in the Scriptures that if God's man or woman did not stand in the gap and pray, would something worse happen? Moses over Israel. Joshua for the people of Israel. How about Ezekiel and Jeremiah? How about Daniel? See, we need men and women to be prayer warriors. And if your heart is not right with God, you're not a warrior. You're seeking other things. You're seeking the things like Solomon did. Someone who had seen God's glory, who had offered up prayer, who had had the wisdom that the people from the east would come, that the queen of Sheba would come and she would see, Solomon, all of your, I know God is with you because all your people are happy. And he forsook what even the pagan world was telling him was good stuff for their way of life. Do you see a problem there? You see, we've taken that into our own selves. And Solomon didn't even know. Do you realize that? God had to tell him, Solomon, your heart is not right. He didn't know. You ever wonder how you would know if your heart is right with God or not? You ever thought about it? Lord, how would I know? How do I know if my heart is actually right? Am I missing something? Because when I look at Solomon and he is the wisest person in the world and yet he didn't know? Well, the first thing that I want you to know is if your heart is not right, God's angry with you. Do you want God to be angry with you? I don't. I understand the power of God. I don't want him angry with me. I realize that my breath is in his hands. I don't want him to be angry with me. Look at 1 Kings 11 and verse 9. It says, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. God had appeared unto him twice, and his heart still left him. And God says, Solomon, I'm angry with you. Man, I do not want God to be angry with me. An angry God. You know, I do like this about God. He didn't just kill Solomon right there where he stood, did he? He gave him an opportunity to repent. In fact, he gave him many, many years to repent. It took Solomon a long time to get his act together. And God had to do some things in his life to get his attention because he was distracted. Everything was running too smooth, I guess, for Solomon. How is it that we're like that? When things look like they're running their best, that's when we get distracted the most. That's when we quit serving God the most. That's when things are good. We've got to have problems in our life, I guess, to get us back on track. Why are we like that? I don't know. But we're not any better than Solomon. I don't think we are. I don't think I am. But I see something here in chapter 11, that if my heart was not right with God, that there would be some clues. Now, this is what I see from the Scripture. You could take it for what it's worth. I don't know if it's all inclusive. It probably is not. But we see three things that God did in Solomon's life to get his attention. He stirred up some problems. Gave him some problems. Well, Solomon, if everything's going good for you and you can't get your heart right, maybe if I give you some problems, maybe to get your attention. And that's what God did. The first thing that he did, look in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 14. It says, and the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad, the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. So we have Edom over there. That's that foreign country. You know, we don't think about foreign lands. So he stirred up a foreigner to give Solomon some problems. He also did another one. Look at 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 23. And God stirred up another adversary, Rezin, the son of Eliada, which fled from his lord at Hadadezer of Zobag, or Zobah. Man, those names, they're kicking my tail this morning. But this was a neighbor. Rezin, he was in Damascus. Damascus is right there beside. There's no boundaries. There's no rivers separating them. They're neighbors. They trade with each other. People go back and forth. They travel. They cut. They take the shortcut through Samaria sometimes. That's where this guy is. Stirred him up to be a problem to Solomon. Look at 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 26. He stirred up Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the Ephrathite of Zeredah, Solomon's servant, whose mother was Zeruiah, a widow woman. Even he lifted up his hand against the king. So he stirred up a brother, somebody in the family, somebody that worked for him, someone close to him. They talked regularly because Jeroboam was the governor of that city there. So we have these three things that he did. He stirred up these adversaries, stirred up some foreign things, some neighboring things, and some personal things. Because it's personal when Jeroboam lifted his hand against him. And like I said, these may not be exact. They may not be all conclusive, inclusive even. But I want you to just consider it this morning. Is God trying to get my attention with some of these things? You know, sometimes things happen in our life and just, it happens. But when we have all three things going on at the same time, you know, when I went to basic training, my TI, he would always say, "You guys are just clueless. Y'all don't have a clue. You need to get a clue, airman." They do that to you, Brother Bob? Yeah? Did you ever find that clue? I never found that clue either. But they'd say, "You need to get a clue." This morning, God's saying, "We need to get a clue." If all three things are going, these three things are going on in your life, we need to pay attention. It may be that our heart is not right with God, and we need to get it right. Nationally, I was thinking about this morning. What would it mean nationally if our heart is not right? Well, it would mean that foreign entities would be a problem to us. Now, I know we don't have any problems with foreigners like North Korea, Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, Russia, China, Japan, Europe. We don't have problems with any of those guys, do we? Well, that might be what it looks like. You know, if our nation heart was not right with God and God was trying to get our attention, he would stir up some neighbors that would be problems too, like he did for Solomon, right? You know, because, you know, we don't have any problems with Mexico or Central America or South America. All that's good to go, right? We never have any problems with Canada either. We do, don't we? We would never, if our heart was not right as a nation, then God would do some stuff on the inside too, wouldn't he? If he was going to try to stir some things up, you know, like our government just can't seem to get its act together. Maybe judicial activism. We might even see, you know, things like the FBI trying to plan a coup against the president. That's not happening, is it? Inside of our own government? We wouldn't see terrorists rising up inside of our states. We wouldn't see a national debt crisis. We wouldn't see welfare going crazy with one-third of our population on welfare, maybe even more than that, unless our heart was not right with God and He was trying to get our attention. You see, nationally, our heart is not right with God. I don't think there's a Christian in the United States that wouldn't say that. The problem is we've got all these Christians that would say, well, the nation's heart is not right, but they won't apply it to themselves. This morning, I want you to seek your own, look inside your own self. Is there any problems? Because if your heart was not right, I think you might see some things like this. You'd see some foreign things like Hadad. Things that, you know, they matter, but they're usually kind of out of sight, out of mind. I don't think about them as much until they're problematic. You know, like taxes. Or maybe appliances or your automobile. You know, those things, they're just supposed to work. And then all of a sudden they quit working. Or maybe some legal matters come up in your life. You have poor relationships with strangers. You know, every checker at Walmart is against you. You know, if that happens to you, you got some foreign things being stirred up in your life. God's trying to get your attention. Maybe. You have to look for all three. If all three, how about some neighbor things? Like Rezin from Damascus. These are things that would be close to you, but, you know, they're kind of outside the home. I'd say they probably look like a relationship with extended family members. Maybe even the church family, close friends, the job, etc. Those would be neighbor things. How about personal things? These would be things that kind of affect your body and your mind, like health, relationships within the home, kids, finances, etc. See, I think those are some things. Three things that God would stir up if your heart is not right. You know, this morning, when I read this, I started thinking about times in my life when my heart wasn't right. And I didn't know this stuff. I didn't even know what this message was going to be until this week. But I started thinking about my life in the past when I knew my heart wasn't right. And I saw these things pop up. It just seemed crazy. Why am I having problems with all my stuff? Why am I having problems with my church or other friends, extended family? What's going on? Sometimes even within my own self, even health issues. And I saw my life. I'm like, yeah, I resembled these remarks before. And I didn't know. I never heard this message. And I see it from Solomon's life. And I start thinking, Lord, what was I thinking during that time? I was thinking about myself. Even when I prayed, I thought about myself. That's all I could pray for was me, me, me. And I learned something. Prayers for me don't count. God knows what my needs are. But He wants me to consider other people. He wants me to pray for them. He wants me to get my heart right. Off of my own self. Off of what 1 John chapter 2 and 15 says. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You see, that's not of the Father. It's of the world. You see, when we have this stuff, when we are thinking about that, that means that we're thinking about the world. We're trying to become friends with this world. You know what the Scripture says about friends of this world? It says that you're an enemy with God. And when you're a friend of this world, don't do like Solomon. Don't get distracted by those things. Do what he said at the initial part. Do you know you're saved today? I think most of you probably think you're saved. You know you're saved. If you're one of God's people, you need to take Solomon's advice, because he gave some good advice. Humble yourself. I wish we as a nation could humble ourselves. But it has to start individually first. I need to humble myself. I need to walk the way God wants me to walk and not get distracted by all this junk in this world, but to walk humbly before God. I need to pray. I need to seek His face. Just like Solomon did at the beginning, he prayed for wisdom. Have you prayed for wisdom? That God would help you to understand these scriptures, help you to see where you might be failing, helping you to see where lust is coming in. Seek His face and then turn from their wicked ways. When God shows you that there's a wicked thing inside of you, turn from it. Don't hold on to it. Don't think that it's okay. Don't think, well, God will forgive me of this. Don't think like that. Think righteous. Think holy. Because that's how God wants you to be. I know y'all get tired probably hearing that from me. But God has called us to be ye holy because He's holy. And we live in a very unholy world. And we have a bunch of unholy things that are coming at us every single day. And they cause us to lust after the flesh. And they cause us to build up pride in our life. And we'll turn our heart away from God. And God will have to stir up adversaries in our life. It doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be like that. Because you can say today, Lord, I repent. Repent means that you turn 100% around. When you see the problem, you don't just try to go around it. You turn around and you go away from it. 180, not 245. You turn away from it. That's repent. And that's what the Scripture tells us that we're supposed to do. When we see sin in our life, we're supposed to be convinced of our sin according to the Scriptures. And we're supposed to turn from it. That all my righteousness is as a filthy rag. So what am I doing? I'm allowing on God's righteousness inside of me. That means that my works should be what God is leading me to do. Everything that I do should be led by God. What is He telling me to do? Well, if you're not talking to Him, He's not going to be able to tell you. But He does want you to repent. If there's anything, any wicked way in you, you repent. You confess it to Jesus. Don't tell me. I'm not the priest. I'm the guy who's just trying to give you God's message. That He wants your life to be better than what Solomon's was here in chapter 11. And it can be. Because He loves you. He wants you to seek His face. And turn to Him. Cast all your cares upon Him, Jesus would say. Because He cares for you. He's a forgiving God who loves you. And He doesn't want you to live with these adversaries in your life. And if we're ever going to fix our nation, we've got to get our church back in order. We've got to get the hearts and minds of the people here to seek God's righteousness and His holiness. We've got to love Him more than anything else in this world. Do you do that? Do you love Him more than anything else? Or do you look for excuses? Well, it's not even hard to find excuses to not serve Him. It's not hard to find an excuse not to come to church. I know I'm talking to the choir today. But this message is going to go online. People are going to hear that. And I want them to consider, when they're forsaking the assembling of themselves together, when they think that they don't have to be held accountable for the actions of their week, Let them know God sees everything that's going on. He knows their heart. And just like I've asked you, I want to ask them, is your heart right with God? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the scriptures that you've given. Help us to see these things in our life. Help us to be able to apply them as we should. Help us to not ignore them like Solomon did, but help us to acknowledge them and see that there are some issues. Grow us, Lord, in your ways. Teach us how to live this life for your honor and for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The song leader and the pianist would come. Your glory. Thank you, Lord, for everything.